This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I am Jeremy Lopez, and once again, as always, thank you for joining with me today on this podcast. I know many of you have other things you could be doing. I know many of you look and long forward to this, you know, podcast every week. And for those, I really thank you for the sacrifice you guys are making to tune in to our podcast every Wednesday. And of course, you can hear it any day during the week, but I know many of you, or if you're like me, I like to hear it while it's fresh and new and alive on the day it comes out. And so that's why I'm so glad that each and every one of you are listening to us, because I know that every one of you, whether it's delayed or whether it's now listening to me now, you know, you make a sacrifice to be here now, to be present with me, to be able to really experience and understand exactly what this universe is trying to say, what God is moving in creation and the universe, and what God is using to say to us and through us. And so I had something on my mind today I wanted to talk to you guys about for a little bit that I believe will totally, really just challenge you, but help you and sort of set you free from a mentality that some people have. You know, I had a lady earlier that was precious lady who wrote into me and said, is it okay for me to desire more abundance? Is it okay for me to desire more money? Is it okay for me to desire more of anything? And that's a tough question, really, for those who really don't understand how the Bible works. But for those of us that are sort of like me in the sense of studying the original language, understanding, really sort of getting the mind of God, you know, within the Word, we begin to find out that it's really a simple question and it's a simple answer. And let me explain this to you guys today that I believe will help set you free. And that is this. You know, when we read the scriptures and we hear where God wants to give us the desire of our heart, and it doesn't even say it is His desire, but it's our desire. It doesn't even say it's His heart, He says it's our heart. Now, that doesn't mean, once again, that it doesn't need to line up with what God is wanting for us as individual people, because we do, and we want that very much. But you're in tune to God. I mean, the truth is, you can't be separated from God, folks. Look at the life of Jonah. Look at so many people's lives in the Bible where some of them tried to get away from God, but guess what? They failed, because there's no getting away from God. You can't hide, you can't run, you can't go to the stars. Even if we were capable of going to Jupiter or Saturn or even Pluto, if Pluto's real or not, then guess what? God's still there. And He would be just as close to you and work and operating in you, just as if you're in Africa, Alabama, or New York, or China. And so there's no separation. If everything is energy and everything, and knowing the energy must flow, we realize that energy actually is a connector. It connects itself because it is connected. And so therefore, because of that, you know, God, not saying that God is energy, but God is everything. And knowing that we're energy slowed down into matter, you know, hey, whether you call us sons of God, children of God, you know, energy, light, whatever, the truth is, it doesn't matter. God's connected to all of that because God is that part of us. There's a God particle in everything. So with that being said, we realize that our desires and our heart actually is His part of desire. It is His heart and what He wants for us. And if not, you wouldn't have the desire to begin with inside of you that burns in you, that never tends to go away. And the idea of vision is understanding that with vision, vision shows us that without a vision, the people perish. That shows us that we've got to cultivate a vision. Now, if you look at the word vision, you think of the idea of a vision is something you're hoping for. You know, the Bible says hope in a bright future that God offers us. And that means that there's vision is looking forward to something of at great expectation of something that is going to happen to you. Now, we look at this and say, does that mean God's going to do it? Or does that mean we do it? Is it okay? Is it right for us to begin to seek out and seek after, you know, things of vision and things of desire? Absolutely it is. Let me explain to you why. When the Bible says when you're faithful with the small things, then God will make you faithful and ruler over many things, what He means by that scripture is that obviously He's okay with you having things, because whether they're small or big, He's letting you know if you're faithful in the small things. And so therefore, does He want you to have small things? The answer has to be yes. Because according to that scripture, He's letting you know that if you take out the word small or large or big, he's letting you know things, like the scripture says, obviously are okay to have, because he's letting you know if your gratitude is in the small things, or put another way, if your gratitude is in things, if your thankful heart is in the things you have, no matter if it's big or small, because God doesn't look at things big or small. The Bible says that God looks upon the heart while man looks on the outside as far as what's big and huge and small, and yet man looks on the inside. I mean, God looks on the inside. And that means the inside of the heart doesn't calculate if something's big or small. So when God speaks to us through the Word and He says, if you're faithful with these things or the small things, then I'll make you faithful and rule over many things. And what's great about that verse is if you notice, check this out, if you notice where he says, if you're faithful in the small things, then I'll make you ruler, and really basically it says, you'll make you ruler and leader over many things. And what he's saying here is, I'll make you a ruler. He doesn't say he'll give you more things. He says he'll make you the ruler over the things. So in other words, he says, if you're faithful with the small things, God will make you faithful and ruler over many things. And so he's letting you know he's going to turn your heart to be a ruler. And so God is more concerned with you ruling and reigning and having dominion and really being a king over the things he's giving you, knowing that the things in his eyes, whether they're small or big, really doesn't matter. God's not a big deal. He doesn't care to God. God wants you to have abundance, but whatever that abundance looks like to you is what you need to have. And so therefore, he's letting you know the things I could care less about. It's the heart issue of how you look at the things is what counts to me. And if you're grateful, thankful, and the things you have, whether they're small or big, it doesn't really matter to me, because small and big in my eyes doesn't matter. Because you can have something very small. You can have a thing that is very small. Let me put you to it a great way. If I have a watch is considered a small thing compared to a car or a mansion, okay? So what he's saying to you is, if you have a watch and you idolize that watch as if it's the greatest thing ever and you put it above God, which would be really ridiculous to do, but you know, hey, go with me for a moment, because that's what he's saying. That if you're able to take something small as a menial or watch and you exalt it and you make it part of your lifestyle to the point where it controls you, it tells you what to do, you lean to that more than paying your bills, you look to that more than worshiping God, you look to that watch more than going to work, then you know what he's telling you? He says, then that's wrong for you. That's totally wrong for you. It's casting down vain imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. And what that scripture means is anything that is contrary to your worship of God, anything that is over, trying to lord over your focus on the things of God, on the kingdom of God, or on God Himself, then guess what happens? If that's the case, then you got to cast it down. And so, see, God is not concerned with the things we have. God is concerned with the heart issue of how we view the things. And so, does God care if you are quote unquote desiring a lot more money? Does God care if you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I want to be a millionaire. I want a lot more money. A lot more money. Then you know what God's going to say? Don't care. Great. Have it. Have fun with it. Have fun with it. Because He's going to look at the heart first. And if He looks at the heart and He notices the heart is saying, that I'm ripping people off their money. I'm stealing from people. I'm treating people horrible. I'm not going to church anymore because I sit home and just cultivate and desire a mindset of having more money. I'm not spending time with my wife, my husband, my children because I'm sitting here pondering on the love of money or the love of a watch or the love of a mansion, then you know what? That's when God says, hold on, that's the vain imagination. It's contrary to everything that my kingdom wants to give you and do for you and that dwells in you. So you got to cast it down and throw it away. And that's what God cares about. I remember a friend of mine once said that a friend of hers gave her a Jaguar, the car, a Jaguar. And what happened was she got in the car. The moment she got in the car, she said God spoke to her and he said, I don't care what things you have as long as the things don't have you. And that's true. And so the idea for people to say, but doesn't the Bible say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? So I'm not supposed to want for anything. Let me put it to you this way. So if wanting is bad, and let me explain to you by the Hebrew words that you can smell. So many people, they get tripped up on this verse. If wanting is bad, then you should never desire food. You should never even worry about even tasting a good food. You should never even care about where you're going to eat for dinner and saying, well, I'm in the mood for Italian or I'm in the mood for Mexican, because what you're saying is, I'm wanting this because my taste buds are saying it wants that. You know, you should never ever decorate your home. You should really not even have a home. You should have a hole in the ground. And because really you can't want for a nice house or a new house or a small house or a big house. You shouldn't want for a car. And so that means if that's the case, you are 24 hours a day living in limitation. You can call it sin or whatever you want to call it, but it's living in limitation because you're belittling yourself and you're belittling the vision you have that God has given you, and you're belittling everything of the kingdom of God within you. Because wanting is not a bad thing. It's not a wrong thing. When the Bible says the Lord is your shepherd, you know, my shepherd I shall not want, what he means is the wanting there in the original language is saying, once again, anything that is a want above the kingdom of God, anything that is a want above the shepherd, then you know what? You need to cast it down. That's not right for you. So the want there becomes evil. And your want and your desire has to be that of under the umbrella effect. Imagine a business who has, you know, let's say the main headquarters is, let's say, XYZ headquarters. That's the umbrella, you know, the umbrella of the business. And underneath XYZ Corporation, you have different small businesses underneath it, but it all reports back to the mothership, for lack of better words, the mother corporation. And so what happens here, that's called protocol. And so you know what kind of chain of command to go in order to get to the head, all right? Through one manager, that manager goes to their manager, and vice, and on and on, until you get to the CEO or human resources or the whatever. And so you have to look at life and understand that there's a protocol way of living and loving and learning, and that means that our love has to be a protocol way. And that is that we got to know the difference between love and like, and we have to know the difference between understanding what I'm called to love, and what I'm called to love is that of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor secondly. So I'm not even allowed to put my neighbor first above God. And so he's letting you know, here's the chain of command, here's the protocol way, here's the way you live your life. Put God first, put people second. Everything else comes third, no matter what it is. So you can have a want to say, I desire money, no problem at all. Because if you know your protocol, if you know exactly what to love first and second, you're fine. So there's nothing wrong with anything else. So is it okay for you to desire more money? Is it okay for you to desire a new job? Is it okay for you to desire a wife or a husband or desire kids? Is it okay for you to desire, you know, anything? You know, a missionary work, no matter what it is. Is it okay for you to desire a business or want a business? Sure it is. The answer to all these questions are yes. Sure it is. There's nothing wrong with these things. Once again, as long as these things understand its place in life. And money has to be the same way. Money has to be under that of loving God and loving people. Because people always come, we'll say first, even though it's secondary, but people always come first. And because everything you use, everything you have in your life should always be in a giving mode. Everything you own should be coming out of a vision to help bless you, but bless other people as well. Because you have to learn to balance your giving and your receiving. And when you begin to balance your giving and receiving, then you understand the protocol of the universe. Everything's about give and take. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. And what this means for you is it means that you've got to begin to look at life and realize, what is my protocol? What is my chain of command? What comes first? What comes second? What comes third? And if you know these things and you've got those three things prioritized, you know what? God could care less if you say, I want $1 million. I want to be able to work hard. I want to own my business. I want to be able to have enough money to buy me a car, to be successful. You know what? God's going to say, hey, more power to you. He'll probably give you a high five and say, go for it. Because the more you ask, seek, and knock, you're going to discover that. And the more you put action behind it, you're going to get it. So God could care less what you have. And people who don't understand this, called a prosperity gospel, they don't understand the fact that anyone that truly knows, whatever that's supposed to mean, prosperity gospel, anyone knows that whenever anyone talks about abundance, that everyone should know abundance is just that. It's abundance. You know, we can live with it or live without it. But the truth is, a lot of people that are talking about abundance, they understand it's their call to teach the religious system, because the religious system says you shouldn't have anything, you shouldn't want anything, you should worship God. But the truth is, even if you look at those religious people, think about this. Even if you look at the people who say, I don't believe in gospel and prosperity gospel, whatever that's even supposed to mean, I've never even heard of that, or I don't believe in God wanting you to have money, you know, then my question would be this. Look at those people. Why do they have a house? I can promise you they have some kind of nice car. Do you know the people who've told me that? That literally are people that I know and within my city who say, I'm totally not into prosperity. I'm totally not. I don't believe God wants to prosper you whatsoever. It's interesting because a lot of them will drive BMWs or Mercedes, which is nothing wrong with that. But think about that for a moment. They don't want God to prosper them, but yet they have no problem prospering themselves. But yet they prosper themselves by buying a nice car or an expensive home or have children, take them to Christian schools, pay money for that. But yet if you notice what they're saying is, I don't believe God prospers you, but I do believe in you can prospering yourself. My question would be this, folks. What's the difference? If you've made God the king of your life and you put God first, then aren't you, tell me that, how do you explain that situation? And so the focus is always the prioritization. My priorities are God first, people second. Everything else doesn't matter. You can say I prosper myself. You can say God prospers me. God wants me to have money. God doesn't want me to have money, but I desire money. However you want to phrase it, the truth is God could care less, or couldn't care less if you have money or not. He doesn't mind. Could care less. He doesn't mind. Couldn't care less, I should say. And that means that you've got to begin to understand the sky is the limit for you. If you know how to prioritize, then watch God take the things you have and multiply them, knowing that your heart is in the right place. Knowing that it's okay to say, God, I really want more money. I really want a better job. You know what God's going to say? More power to you. Have fun with it. Work hard. Whatever, work smart, as I call it. You know, go back and get a degree, or maybe just think outside the box and create something that has never been in the earth. But whatever you do, just put me first, and you can have as much money as you want. God is not threatened by anything you have. God couldn't care less what you have. It doesn't bother him, as long as he knows where you come home. And where you come home is to him. And when you do, guess what? At the end of the day, he looks at you and says, well done. How's your life going for you? Are you enjoying life? Because if I die to give you an abundance of life, then are you literally experiencing that abundance of life? Because if you're not, you know what? Then you're missing out the mark. You're not pressing towards the mark hard enough. You're not doing something that can help empower you even at a greater rate in your life. So the key thing is, make sure you know that it's okay for me. Give yourself permission to say, it's okay for me to desire. It's okay for me to want things because I know where my heart is. And it's not a problem. And now that you've been set free to understand that scripture about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice how in the scripture, let me back up for that before I close. Notice in that scripture that it actually says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why even put the first part of it? What if you just put in that scripture, if the scripture meant that you can't want, then why don't it just say, like it says, be holy even as I am holy? Why don't he just get to the point? And why doesn't the word just go ahead and say something to the effect of, thus saith the Lord, do not want. Then all of a sudden, that would be a separation. But here you're hearing where it says, the Lord is your shepherd, don't want. Then you know automatically right there, he's letting you know, let the shepherd, let God be your first source. And then the want is not a problem for you. Because if God is first anyway, the want is going to be in the right place of wanting. Are you with me? Your want will be in the right place of wanting then. But the want that goes above the shepherd, then that want turns in to the bad things of greed, pride, idolizing, everything else. The want turns into an evil thing. Remember this. Words within themselves are not evil. It's the power you put behind the words that make them evil. You know, if I have, for example, if my house is decorated in Zen, or let's say, for example, you know, in shopping malls, you have, you know, these little Buddha statues, different colors where you can decorate your house with. Well, if you look at that and say, hey, I'm decorating my house today in Asian, you know, no big deal. I got Asian everywhere, and I got a little Buddha over here, or whatever you want to call it, you know. And if someone walks in your house and says, oh my God, you have an idol in your house, it would shock the stew out of me, because I would be sitting here saying, where's the idol? Point out the idol to me, because all I see is I see decor. Because see, to the pure all things are pure, to the defiled all things are defiled. The way I see it is I look at decor, because I know my empowerment, and I know what I empower, and I know what I dismantle, and I know what I don't give power to, and what I don't feed into something, it starves. So to you that walked in my door who says you have an idol, to you that's an idol, you better get out of here fast, or you better cast it down or do what you need to do in your consciousness. For me, it's decor, because I know where my power lies. Christ. I know where my mind is. I know my mind is on the pure things that God tells me to think upon. So for you, maybe your mind is a little dirty. Maybe your mind sees the devil behind every rock. Not for me. So for me, guess what? According to how I think, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, or so is his life. So I'm not the one with the problem that's got the Buddha in the house. You would be the problem. Are you with me? And I'm just giving you that example here, just as, you know, because it's a good example that some lady told me one time before, which I believe is true, because she said, is it wrong for me to have this and this in my house? And I said, well, how's your love life with your husband? Oh my God, it's amazing. We never argue. Well, how's your relationship with the Lord? Oh my God, it's amazing. Then I said, you know, what's the problem? What's the problem? You know your priorities. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Religious people want to take you down. Don't let them take you down. You know in which you in whom you serve. You know your empowerment. Don't worry about it. Okay? Because to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. So that's where you got to look at life and realize when you hear people talk about prosperity preachers, you say, first of all, what is a prosperity preacher? What does that even mean? And people say, you know, you should have abundance. You should look at that and say, what does that mean? Because to you, your mind is defiled. To me, who lives in the abundance, you know what? My mind is pure because I know in whom I serve. And I know in whom all of it comes from. Because no good thing will he withhold from me. All good things flow down to me from the Father of lights. In him, he said there's no shadow of turning, which means he's never going to change his mind from constantly wanting to give me good things. So see, if wanting's bad, then God is bad. If wanting's a sin, then God's a sin. Because God wants us to love him. God wants us to have nice things, because he tells us in his word. So if wanting is evil, then you know what? God is evil. Come on, folks, are you with me? So you have to understand what that scripture means when it says, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. You got to know now what it means. And now that you know what it means, be set free. Be set free, all right? So I hope you guys have a blessed day today. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. Do not forget to sign up for my Hot Off the Press book club. That way you get my book. I put out a book, a really thick book, every single month. And I want you guys to be a part of it. It's autographed, free shipping in the continental USA. I mean, you get it before anyone else does. You would love it. So make sure you're checking out our website, identitynetwork.net, and sign up for the Hot Off the Press book club. This month, the book that's going out is called Visualizing the Energy of Your Prophetic Word. Visualizing the Energy of Your Prophetic Word. Brand new, hot off the press. And I want you to have it in your hands. And I'll autograph it for you. So sign up today for Hot Off the Press Book Club and get my monthly books. They'll blow you away because I pack them full with revelation. I don't believe in watering down things. I believe in giving things people that hits them between the eyes with revelation. And has your eyes twinkle with revelation like the Bible says. So you guys have a blessed day. Go on the website, sign up, and until next week, create the reality that you want for your life. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.